Let's go. The basketball roster is complete. It's Big Cat weekend. You got baseball tonight. We got a lot of stuff. This is a busy Friday.
Yes.
And we're going with the Octopod live. Woo! Dive. All the way. Woo! Live. All the way live.
Woo!
Here we go. Let's bring the energy. It's Friday. You can't have a low energy Friday. You can't have an LEF. Let's go.
No LEFs allowed.
That's right. Zach, Mantis. Mantis Rubstavicious.
Is it delicious? No. It's Rubstavicious.
Oh, I like that. I like that. Delicious Rubstavicious. 6 8 year
pro.
Yeah. 8 year pro. Lithuanian professional. Mantis Rubstavicious. The last of 8 new players. He turned 24. Earlier this month, he's played professionally since 2018, started in Lithuania, played in Australia's professional league, and then was invited to the NBA G League Elite Camp 2 years ago and appeared in the NBA Summer League with Golden State. Got about 9 minutes a game. In the Summer League. Summer League. It's the Summer League. For this 24-year-old European professional. And I love it. Perfectly within the rules. By the way, Auburn doesn't go out to break the rules intentionally to try to prove some point because they have a deficit at some position on their team.
Well, they're also doing it in the offseason, which I think is different, too. Yeah. Do you know the answer, though, to if the NCAA's ruling goes through of, like, you get five to play five and they put an age cap on it? How does that impact this? Do you know?
I don't know. I don't know.
I thought that's why it took so long. And then we heard the chatter about, all right, this thing's probably going to pass in the offseason, five to play five. Well, then either 5 years after your graduation date or your 19th birthday, then like that's it for you.
Yeah.
So once I heard that, like, and it kind of slowed down a little bit, there was some speculation of like, all right, like, how does that impact Mantis? But
yeah.
I don't know. Clearly, they must feel good about it, or they wouldn't have let him commit.
So. Well, it says he turned 24 earlier this month, so maybe it's April. Maybe because he was 23 in April. I don't know. But I know that Mantis Rubstavicious is now an Auburn Tiger. Did you know that praying mantises are the only insects on Earth that are capable of rotating their heads a full 180 degrees?
So, I mean, you talk about this guy's vision.
Yeah.
On the court.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, get ready for some backward passes. Like, could be posted up.
Right. Right behind.
That's right.
You talk about a no-look pass.
He's just going to turn his head all the way around.
Well, there are no no-look passes because a mantis can look everywhere.
That's right.
Absolutely.
Wow.
It is a superpower. A lot of people, and by the way, they have 3D vision. Mantises have 3D vision.
Isn't that just vision?
Which, I was just about to say, in other words, vision. No, do other animals not have 3D vision? Are other animals walking around like it's a cartoon all the time?
I don't know. I don't know the answer to that one.
Yeah. Well, anyway, their superpower of 180-degree head turns and 3D vision lets them perfectly judge distances and spot hidden prey without ever moving their bodies.
So what does that say? Patience?
Yeah.
Controlled aggression?
Cunning.
And doing what it takes to win.
Yeah, that's right. All the hallmarks, wow, of a mantis.
All what of a mantis?
Hallmarks.
Hallmarks?
Stavicious. Wait a minute. All right. I've looked up how to pronounce this name. Rubstavicious. Rubstavicious. I'm not going to keep doing it.
Mantis. JD asks, Brad, what are you drinking today?
Just some water.
Let's see it again.
It's water.
I hope it's not just water, my guy.
What's wrong with this?
You will be in the hospital in 45 minutes.
What are you talking about? It's just water.
What'd you put in there?
No, it's like it's a tea. It's like ginger and turmeric.
And he says,
tea.
That is not water. I agree. I agree. Yeah, so, I mean, it assumes now that the roster is built. So, that's exciting. Mantis committing. Probably early next week, we'll react to some of the fallout from this, because I imagine there's going to be some takes out there. Yeah.
You think?
And
you think some people going to be stirred up?
Why wouldn't they be, right? I wouldn't blame them at all. I don't fully understand how this is allowed, but I'm okay with it.
But it is allowed. That's the thing. It is. It falls within the rules. This and the Bediako situation, by the way, all those people out there that are just fans of the other team or part of the media machine, like, it doesn't matter how loudly you try to argue against things that are within the rules. It's different from the Bediako situation. The Bediako, now you can argue that a rule shouldn't be a rule.
Sure. Right.
You know, I mean, it's like these people who argue about marijuana laws. Like, I don't really care. It doesn't matter if you think it should or shouldn't be a rule. If it's a rule, you get punished for breaking it. Period. Full stop. And
full
Auburn
stop,
has
no
added,
cap.
Yeah. And straight Auburn has fire. Added. Now look, that backcourt now, not bad. Tahad, KO. You got Kimball from Vanderbilt to back up Tahad at the point. And now you bring in 6'6 Rube Stavicius. If you look at the way his name's spelled officially, there's two accent marks.
Yeah.
So this is going to be something.
Which is going to be reflected in his play, hopefully.
Two accent marks
every time down the floor. Daryl Dapridge says, Mantis is a huge get, wing that has good size and can shoot.
Yep. I like that Daryl is bringing some, like,
yeah, everybody else is talking about, like, what's in your water bottle, and Daryl's like, no, Mantis could be really good.
Yeah, Mantis is going to be a good player. He has good size. He's a good shooter.
Yep. JD says, Brad is cosplaying Zach's dream of Survivor with that drink. There's probably some truth to that. They let him, they actually just give him water now. So,
guys, it's just tea. That's all. Did you ever see the Cosby Show episode where Vanessa gets drunk? And the next day they pretend to play a drinking game, and little Rudy is in on it, and it's really just tea. And when Vanessa goes to take the shot, she braces because she thinks it's whiskey or whatever. And she's like, this is tea.
No, I haven't seen that. All right. Barner Becca says, what do we think the issue was at the plate last night? The approach was very head scratching at times. Great question, Barner Becca. And as always, thank you for being here and supporting the show with the super chat. So this is something I talked about after the game, Brad, specifically like in the ninth.
Yep.
It Bub Terrell's at bat, especially, like, it really felt like they were trying to go yard at times. And when they've been winning, you hear the players talk about like passing the bat back. And it didn't seem like they were trying to pass the bat back last night.
Yeah, I have a theory. I don't know. I don't know. This isn't verified. It's just a theory. It's just an opinion. All right. I think when you play Georgia, there's a tendency to want to match them. You go, well, if you can hit home runs, I can too. And so suddenly you leave your normal swing plane. You leave your normal mechanics. Your eye discipline is different. All of it changes. Because you want to say anything you can do, I can do too. I also think that Auburn had three hits off the starter in the first inning. He didn't have his slider set really well. And they got three hits off of him, and then Ethan Bingaman grounded into a double play that ended the inning. And I thought the team kind of deflated after that. It was like, you know, you need a lot of runs. Turns out you only needed three to win last night because it was pitched beautifully. But I think there was a sense after the first inning of, oh, man, we needed to get four or five there, and we didn't, and now we got to press. And after that, the guy, like, his slider was better, and he genuinely pitched better. But I also thought they were pressing a little bit, and trying to swing too big after that first inning. But they get a chance to correct it tonight. They've already had two series in this winning streak where they won, where they lost the first one and won the next two. So
yep.
Go back, get after it tonight.
Yep. No, thank you for the baseball question, Barner, Becca. The Rev, member for 7 months. I'm nice. Assuming that's the longest. Congrats, Rev. Thank you, nice, Rev. Dap needs to verify Mantis is 6'8", and it's 6'4". If you know, you know.
I don't know. I think he's 6'6". I don't think he's 6'8". Unless he's grown.
I'm trying to remember what the inside joke is here, Rev.
Yeah, I don't know.
6'8". And it's 6'4".
I know we all thought that the guy who went to UCLA was 6'9". And then he got here and he was 6'6".
Miller said Firewater. Is that Firewater in there?
Ginger, turmeric, and a little honey.
Okay. It's a reference to Jovich's height?
Yeah. That's gotcha. What I, yeah, that's what I would say. He was not as tall as he was listed over the summer.
What do you think of this take by James? The ump was paid by Georgia.
Yeah.
The same pitch was a strike for Georgia when he called ball for our pitcher.
Yeah. I don't think he was paid by Georgia, James, but I do think there were some inconsistencies. Definitely some inconsistencies.
The last at bat of the game for sure, too.
Yeah.
Especially some of that lower stuff. Rev says Jovich was not as tall as he was listed. Dat broke that news, so that was a joke. Verify it, spell error, my bad. Rev, no. You're we should have remembered that. Let's see something very clear, Rev. You apologize for nothing.
That's right.
You apologize for nothing.
This is an NAZ for Rev, a no apology zone. All right.
Yeah.
Can I bring up something else?
Yes.
Can I change the subject?
Please.
There's so much. I did a whole show on this last week. There's so much talk against the 2014 playoff. And the big thing that people have used this week is, well, the first, and I saw Mike Greenberg was quoted, awful announcing quoted on their show. The first time Ohio State or Michigan rest their players in the rivalry game because they've got a playoff coming up is the day college football as we know it ends. That's not happening. These teams aren't resting starters for rivalry games.
Right.
They're not going to do that. That's not realistic. That's sensational. They're just trying to make you think emotionally and irrationally.
Now, that statement has probably got some truth in it, right? If Auburn and Alabama are both in a situation where they're going to be in the playoff and they bench players in the Iron Bowl, that's a bad sign. That would be a bad sign for college football. But
that's so far removed from reality, though.
Yeah. You found a way to get Michigan involved in the conversation, though. I'm proud of that. I respect that.
It's because that was what was quoted. That was the example that
you could have easily shifted it to Auburn, Alabama, and you chose not to. That's okay.
I'll do this.
But that is true. It's just that's not happening.
Right. Yeah. That's correct. When I grow to be 7 feet tall, Nick, if I ever grow to be 7 feet tall, I'll be able to dunk a basketball.
Heck, if you grow to be 6'4", Daryl, say you're 6'8".
Right. And I'll be able to dunk.
Yeah.
But guys, that's not happening. Don't fall for the sensational stuff, please. So, anyway, yeah, technically starters change every football game. Nobody rests their starters. Yeah, Reb, that's true. But, like, again, to the point, the next Auburn or Alabama coach that sits starters for a rivalry game for any reason, it's going to be the last game as a coach. The fan base will run him out of town.
Yeah, right. So something happened to me yesterday.
Okay.
I'm involved with a media group at my church, and one of the folks that's pretty involved, he's leaving to, you know, join a church startup in Boston. And so we all went to lunch yesterday, essentially to like say bye to him, right?
Okay.
we went to Olive Garden. Maybe you've heard of it.
Yeah.
Fine Italian cuisine.
Yeah.
Yesterday was my oldest daughter's birthday. She turned 6.
And she loves Olive Garden.
She picks where we want to go for dinner.
Yeah.
She picked Olive Garden.
Sure. So you got a double dose.
I went to Olive Garden twice within the span of, I left after lunch. I was there 4.5 hours later.
That's a lot. So you were at Olive Garden longer than some of the shift workers yesterday.
If you count like the time in between, absolutely.
Yeah.
And I was so like, I was almost embarrassed about it. I'm like, gosh, I hope I have a different server.
Oh, hey, you're back.
It's like, I really wanted to be here today. So.
Sir, the all-you-can-eat breadsticks wasn't a personal challenge.
So that was my main obstacle yesterday.
Was the double OG. Hey, JD,
thank you for becoming a member on YouTube. We appreciate that.
Did you eat the same thing both times? Becca with a good question.
No, I had pasta at lunch, and then I just did the soup and salad for dinner because I didn't want any more food. So I should have done it backwards probably, but that's okay.
I would have done a spit take without drinking anything if you had said, no, I had pasta at lunch, and then I had, pasta, a different.
Yeah, so they got this chicken and shrimp carbonara that I really like, so I got that at lunch.
Yeah.
And then at dinner, I also got that chicken and shrimp carbonara as well. But no, that didn't happen.
Carbonara, by the way, chicken carbonara is unbelievable. Just as an aside, or shrimp carbonara, anything carbonara, amazing.
Yeah, I do like the idea of shrimp more than I actually like shrimp most days.
Yeah.
So whenever I order something with shrimp in it, I like take a few bites and I'm like, this is good. And then it's like, It's kind of like the candy corn of meats.
Oh,
like
I don't know.
The first few are pretty good. And then it's like, I don't know if I can pop 8 more of these in, you know?
The candy corn of meat.
You know what I'm talking about. We've talked about this before. Like candy corn's good for the first 2 or 3, and then it's like, there's a lot of candy corn.
No, candy corn isn't good the first 2 or 3 unless it's paired with honey roasted peanuts. Candy corn paired with honey roasted peanuts is good by the bushel. It's good by the pound. But by themselves, no, I can't even do one candy corn. It's because, look, shrimp is a protein-dense food. So you don't need all that much. You don't need a dozen shrimp. It's plenty. You're good. Half dozen's fine.
Yeah.
Woo, that's good stuff. JD wanted to know, is the barn going to do tailgates during football season? Because
we're gonna try to, you know, the A-Day one was such a like pleasantly surprising success. I mean, we were expecting y'all to show out, but it was so much more than we were expecting.
Yeah.
We're looking into, I mean, we need some folks to like pay for it, just to be 100% blunt, or at least to help pay for it. So
we're having
some conversations with a few folks about that.
To put on the kind that we would want to throw and that you'd want to come to. That's what we'd like.
Right. We don't want to just be a tent and all that. So Ford has mentioned it with Active Wealth.
Yeah.
So if you want to go to activewealth.com and sign up and meet with Ford, that would help us have that argument for sure.
Yeah. Awesome. Love it. We got so much stuff going on to talk about. Do you want to go Big Cat or do you want to go Jim Fife next?
I want you to do the ad read.
Okay. Precision Tune Auto Care of Opelika is offering now. Look, it's the Alabama heat in the summertime. Your AC may struggle to keep up with it. But Precision Tune Auto Care in Opelika wants to help you beat the heat this summer. Here's what you do. When you go visit Precision Tune Auto Care, mention Beat the Heat from the Barn.
Whoa.
Mention it by name.
Beat the Heat.
Beat the Heat.
A little heat beat action.
Heat. You're going to receive a complimentary AC performance evaluation.
Oh, my gosh. It's so hot. Well, I'm going to beat the heat with Precision Tune Auto Care.
You're going to BTA the heat is what you're going to do. A system pressure check, vent temperature analysis, plus an exclusive offer.
Heat beat action.
$50 off qualifying AC repairs. They are the auto hospitality experts at Precision Tune Auto Care.
Precision Tune Auto Care in Opelika.
Just mention beat the
heat. Gosh, it's hot in my car. Doesn't have to be. You can beat the heat, a little heat beat action.
No, it's not yet, but it's about to be. It's about to be. The heat's not here yet, but you want to beat it. You don't endure
it. Beat the heat.
Beat the heat.
Beat it.
Just beat it.
Just beat it.
No one wants to be defeated. It doesn't matter who's wrong or right. Just beat it.
Beat the heat.
Where you want to go next?
What were the options?
Jim Fife or Big Cat Weekend?
I guess Jim Fife. I don't know.
All right. Jim Fife passed away on this day in 2003.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. It's been 23 years. Now, he was the voice of the Tigers for 22 seasons. He's been gone 23 years. That doesn't seem right.
Man.
He's been gone longer than he actually held the role. So for folks who are watching today, what's your favorite Jim Fife call? Or are you too new? Like, are you too young to remember the Fife days?
I am.
Yeah.
I don't remember them. I remember when he passed because my parents were super shook by it.
Yeah.
But I don't remember the Jim Fife, like any Jim Fife calls in particular.
There are so, like, Fife was the voice I grew up with. He was the voice from 81 through the 2002 season, 02-03 basketball. And, man, so many from early wins over Florida State to the winning streak over Alabama in the 80s, the Tillman reverse, the Tillman against Georgia Tech. There's a YouTube creator who has put together top, I think, 25 and top 35 Fife call lists. They're unbelievable. And then, of course, like, announcers, a lot of times, they're tied to the success of the team, right?
I mean,
the kick six call is electric, but the play is, they work hand in hand. And the 93 season, when Auburn wasn't able to be on TV, you go undefeated and nobody can watch you. Your radio voice is elevated even higher.
Sure.
And, man, Nick DeSanders in the 93 Iron Bowl. Calvin Jackson's 100-yard interception return against Florida in 93. Unbelievable calls.
Yeah.
There you go. Rev.
Nick DeSanders against Florida, my favorite.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Florida's got the big rush on Nick's. Is how that starts.
That's cool.
J.D. Lawler, yeah, let's let the crowd count it down for us. The final call of the 93 Iron Bowl win. And he lays out on a radio call. He lays out, and you can hear the crowd count down the final seconds.
That's cool.
So,
yeah. You know, hearing about Fife is just, like, impact on, like, I guess modern radio, which has now led to more, like, modern media. But I've heard Bill Cameron, back when I worked with Bill Cameron a ton on a daily basis, you know, he and Fife were, like, pitching a daily sports talk show. And the discussion was like, you think people would listen to that? You think people want sports every day?
Yeah.
And they were kind of the first, like, ones to be daily in Alabama, in the state of Alabama, which is kind of cool that he pioneered that. So,
yeah, for sure. He loved getting under the skin of Alabama fans. Loved it. In fact, the touchdown call, the genesis of the touchdown call, for folks, there's a DVD where he tells this story. There was a 20-year celebratory DVD that came out in 2000. And he tells the story of really getting that call and it becoming a thing. Ooh. And he was playing in a golf tournament, and he sank a long putt, and he was a terrible golfer. And so it was like miraculous that he sank a long putt. And he said the phrase a couple times real loud, and this Alabama fan comes up to him, head to toe, crimson, everything. He was like, I don't like it. No Alabama fan likes it when you say that. And so he was like, well, all right, then.
I'll say it a lot.
Yeah. Say less. Yeah.
What's up with this?
I saw Brad throw a baseball this morning.
Yep.
What's up with that?
The boy and I go practice for about 15 minutes every morning after we drop his sister off at school, because there's a little window. There's a 15-minute window before we've got to get in his car line. So we'll go throw a baseball. He's practicing pitching. And I think he bruised or broke something in my hand. He threw a fastball so hard yesterday.
That's good, right?
Yeah, it's good. Yeah.
Sounds like you got to step your game up or get a thicker glove or something.
Yeah, the glove I have is not very good.
Jacob J, member for 5 months. Thank you, Jacob J. Brad, what is your favorite moment calling an Auburn sporting event? Ooh, yeah, I want to know the answer to this too.
Where I actually was on part of the call.
Yeah, that's the way I read this.
Yeah.
Not your favorite Auburn call ever, but your specific favorite call ever.
Maybe Cade Ballou's grand slam against Vanderbilt last year.
Okay.
That helped him win the series.
Yeah.
That was a massive moment. His home run in the opener last year, too, the day that like he lost his mom and he plays in the game and he hits a home run. Yeah. Of course, like almost all of mine are baseball, because that's the only, you know, that's all I call.
Yeah.
I mean, I was in the booth for the national championship game. I was courtside and producing for the Final Four and Corvallis. I was on the call, but, you know, didn't have a spectacular anything happen in the games in Oregon State during my innings, I don't think. So, yeah. Okay. Probably Cade Ballou.
Cool. Awesome. All right. Big Cat Weekend.
Yeah.
That's happening. That's a thing going on.
It is. Big Cat Weekend has been around for 16 years now. I got to be honest, I didn't expect it to stick around after the Chizik staff left, but I guess Gus was a part of it and saw how successful it was. It's different now. It's like everything else, you know, it changes with time. And so Big Cat's different now. I think the emphasis on high school recruiting is different now, but still, you got some big guys coming in. How impactful can this weekend be, Zach, when all said and done?
You know, I don't think you ever really know. Like, you know, I think Auburn's going to end up getting several of these guys. Is it because of Big Cat Weekend? I don't know. The timing of it, I think it's going to be tougher to just get commits, like, actually during the weekend. I think it's going to be tougher now than it used to be because, for folks who don't know, like, it used to be in July. Had to scoot it up now because you can't have kids on campus in July anymore. So I mean, I think it'll be impactful for sure, just because it's a loaded unofficial weekend in the off season. But there are some dudes that I think Auburn feels like they should get. You know, Carlos May is a guy we've talked about for forever, as far as kind of, you know, being Auburn being the favorite. And the longer that goes on, I think the more you can kind of scratch your head and say, okay, what's going on here? But yeah. Carlos May, the defensive lineman from Birmingham, plays at Ramsey, is interesting. A guy that I really like, I think is a little underrated when I look at his tape, is Nash Johnson III. He's a corner. You know, if I have a chance to just talk about an arbitrary list of players, I'm going to talk about a corner. He's over at McCarran in Georgia, but three-star guy. I like Nash Johnson. Yeah. A bunch used to be committed to Alabama, for what it's worth.
Okay.
Rance Brown's a three-star guy. You know, there's another offensive tackle, Leighton's got three names. Leighton Von Brandt.
Okay.
Who is kind of seen as one of the better tackles in this class. And it seems like over the last few days, Notre Dame has done what it takes to become the clear favorite there. And you know, Rance Brown, my understanding is he grew up an Auburn fan. So he'll be on campus here, transferred recently. He's from in-state, but he transferred to Brentwood up in Tennessee, Brentwood Academy. Yeah. 6'6", 290 pounds, according to his 247 page, offensive tackle for his school. I like him a lot. I would like for them to push and go ahead and get him in the boat. I think he's got a chance to be a little bit of a riser.
Yeah.
I think Cade Cooper is interesting. I mean, he's... Yeah, I guess you got two receivers coming in that aren't local, which is always kind of fun and unique. Cade Cooper's from Pennsylvania, Notre Dame, Georgia, Ole Miss, all recruiting him. he's a three-star, but it's like Notre Dame, Georgia, and Ole Miss are pursuing him. So it's like, yeah, we'll see. Yeah. We'll see. I also think South Florida offered really early for him. If I remember correctly, South Florida was in on him a long time ago before he kind of blew up. And then another receiver that's not local, Damani Warren from Las Vegas, which is always kind of fun. Sounds like A&M is leading the way for him, but this has become a national recruitment, Damani Warren. So we'll see. Yeah. We'll see what happens with him.
When you say South Florida was in on him early, is that this current, like the guys on the current Auburn staff, or is this after?
Yeah, I think it's South Florida. If I'm thinking of the right guy, let me double check this.
All right.
But yeah, I mean, there are several guys coming in that they offered like last year. And so that would be this staff, right?
Yeah. Yep. All right.
Maybe I'm making that up. Maybe I'm thinking of somebody else. I am thinking of somebody else. I was not for Cade Cooper. My bad.
Okay. Gotcha. 10-time champion, a lot of room in right center. If he hits one there, we can dance in the streets. Do you know what that's a reference to?
Michael Jackson song.
No. No, but it would be a great Michael Jackson song.
A movie.
A room in right
it's center. From a movie. Woo-hoo!
No. That was Skip Carey's beginning of Sid Bream, or no, Francisco Cabrera's at bat. In the 1992 NLCS, Game 7, where the Braves beat the Pirates, and Sid Bream scored on the play. On the hit by Francisco Cabrera.
Skip Carey.
A lot of room in right center. If he hits one there, we can dance in the streets. Goalish effect about to show. Reverend Barn Booster again. The goalish effect about to show how well he's doing during Big Cat Weekend. Do you think Auburn gets commits this weekend? Or do you think they're just building?
You might get one. It's tricky, Brad. I mean, all the official visits are about to start. So all these kids, like, do you want to commit before all your official visits start? Do you feel pressure then to cancel those? Like, the timing of Big Cat, like, it's different. It feels different. I think the rank of recruit is different than it typically is, like, I don't know. It's a different feeling, Big Cat. Once again, we say this before, like, different doesn't always mean better.
Yeah.
It's just different. Doesn't mean it's worse. In this case, it's just different. We'll see what the results are.
That's right. Shout out Auburn women's tennis very quickly here. Ranked number one. They're in the national quarterfinals. They're playing LSU right now.
Oh, cool.
They have won the doubles point, and now the singles matches are underway. Two LSU players have won the first set in singles matches, and they're underway now. All of them are underway. So, yeah, that's happening right now as we're live.
All right.
Over in Athens. So, and next time we're with you, men's golf will do their regional. They'll start that on Monday. So that's kind of cool. You got some teams playing for national titles. Small Time says Sid Bream was out. No, he wasn't. That's the end of that conversation.
Sid Bream, out. Sid Bream. All right,
he wasn't though. He was safe.
Floppy Toppy Bradford. All right. I don't know. Anything else you got going on?
No, I don't guess so. We covered a lot of ground today, didn't we?
A lot of different things.
Yeah. Are we still in play to host? Yeah, Rev. Auburn's still very much in play to host a regional. I think they could lose the next two and still host a regional.
Yeah, regionals top 16. The big question is, are they a national host? Which means if they win their regional, they're guaranteed to host a super regional, which is top 8.
And I think they could lose the next two and still be a national seed.
They're going to be right on the line. I think they've done enough. I agree with you.
Same.
I agree with you.
I'd rather not find out. Yeah, Floppy, I think they have supers locked up, but I'd rather not leave it in anybody's hands. I'd rather
care of business. Just win one.
Look,
I'd love for you to win two, but if you win one, it's done.
And it's about the hitting. It's absolute, because the pitching, if you tell me you're going to hold Georgia to two solo home runs and that's it.
I said we won. I said we win by 3 or 4.
You win 10 out of 10 games if you say that's all you're going to do.
Well, clearly not 10 out of 10.
Not anymore, not 10 out of 10. Clearly no, not. But I'm
maybe 9 out of 10.
Yeah.
No, man. I talked about this a little bit last night too, Brad. Jackson Sanders, I was wrong about him. Like when he was kind of like the worst of the three, like, weekend starters, and, you know, Alvarez was ascending. It's like, I'm like, yeah, pull him. And then they did. They moved Alvarez to the weekend, and I'm like, Yeah, I think we'll see him as like a middle relief guy. We'll do two or three innings a weekend. And I mean, he's doing two or three innings a weekend, but he's been unbelievable.
Yeah.
He's been so good as far as just, all right, whenever the starter's done, I'll take the rest of the game. He's been so good.
Yeah. You need me to go three. You need me to go four.
It was such a, with how good Georgia is offensively, and we wasted it because our bats couldn't get anything going, was so freaking frustrating.
Yeah. You're right. If this team doesn't go to Omaha, it'll be because it has prolonged stretches of offense like that. Now, we haven't seen prolonged stretches like that since really like a four-game stretch late March, very early April. They've been pretty consistent for the last 6 weeks. So but let's see if they're able to come out tonight and do any better against a guy with a nearly five ERA. But, yeah, Sanders was – Barner Becca, low-key kind of mad. We burned Sanders last night. Wish we'd waited and used him tonight.
That was a common sentiment I saw a lot of places last night. But also, what if we win? Then it's like, yes, what a great call. You know, like you just didn't know what the offense was going to do. But in the words of Pat Dye, hindsight's 50-50. So.
Yeah, I loved it because I thought they were going for it last night. Go for the one. You've held them down. You know Jackson's going to hold him down. And the thought at the time, of course, when he started warming up, it was 1-1.
True.
And if, like, you, this is the conversation, like, in hindsight, it may be tough to remember. Here's the conversation, though, you're having at the middle point of that game. Eventually, the offense is going to break through. We're not going to just score one run
in the first inning.
Right, and then nothing the rest of the game. Surely the offense is going to bust through, so let's go for it here tonight. And so I didn't mind that at all, knowing you got Dre tonight and Cormier and Petro going Saturday. Now, I mean, you need Dre to go six tonight.
Get through that first inning. Yep. That's Dre's thing. Get through that first inning.
Yep. There you go.
All right. Cool.
Yeah, so we'll see him.
Did that about do it? You got any more animal facts, or was it all just about the praying mantis?
It was all about the mantis today.
Okay. All right. That does it for today's show.
Thanks, everybody, for watching. Thanks for listening. And remember, until next time, everyone has vices. Make sure Village Vice is one of yours.